Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. We thank you for your presence and for being here. We have several visitors here as well. We certainly appreciate your presence. You are our honored guest, and we'd like to invite you back to O'Neill and any chance you may have to come be with us. Tonight, we're going to talk about Aaron. Aaron, who is the brother of Moses. This morning, Brother Guy talked to us about Moses, went through several parts of Moses' life to describe what kind of a man he was. And Moses was a godly man. He was a man that was chosen by a little different. And even though they are brothers, there are a lot of differences in between Moses and Aaron. So what we're going to do tonight is that we're going to first of all look at who Aaron was. There is a lot about Aaron, as he is mentioned in three books of the Bible. He is the son of Amram and Jochebed. His life is described in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And so as you read those three books of the Old Testament, then you're going to read a good bit about Aaron's life. Now that being, there's a whole lot of information about Aaron, so we're going to just talk about a few details tonight. Not only is he the son of Amram and Jochebed, but he's also the brother of Moses. He is the older brother of Moses by about 3 years, and the younger brother of Miriam. He is chosen to be a spokesman for Moses in Exodus chapter 4. Brother Guy spoke about this morning, about Moses was approached by God in the burning bush and was told to go to Pharaoh. And it's at this point that Moses is going to command to let the Israelites go out of Egypt. And Moses kind of questions back, you know, why me? I'm not a good speaker. And by the end of the conversation, God says, well, I will give you someone to be your mouth. And that is to be his brother Aaron. Now, we're not exactly sure if Moses had any kind of speech impediment or whether he just was not a good speaker. Whatever the case is, Aaron is going to be the speaker of Moses. So as Moses and Aaron goes before Pharaoh to urge for the release of the Israelites, it is Aaron that's mostly going to be that voice, which is where we also get the use of Aaron's rod in Exodus chapter 7 and chapters 8. As God sends down the plagues to the Egyptians, it is going to be the use of Aaron's rod in putting four of these plagues into place. He is known as Moses' right-hand man. All right? He is kind of like, I dare to say, the assistant to Moses, but Moses is always the leader, and then right next to him is going to be Aaron over the next good bit, especially through these books of the Old Testament. He is going to help to lead the Exodus out of Egypt, as we read all through the book of Exodus, going through the parting of the Red Sea and their journey to the land that God has promised to the Israelites. Aaron is going to be right there, right next to Moses' side the entire time. He is going to be a priest. Many are going to refer to him as the first chief priest of the Jewish tabernacle. And he is going to be 123 years old when he passes from this earth, as we read about in Numbers chapter 33. And we'll talk more about that last one towards the end of the sermon. All right, so this is kind of the basic overall viewpoint about who Aaron was. Now, we don't have time to talk about all of Aaron's life or even most of it. So what we're going to do is that we're going to look at a few events here and there to where we can take some lessons from Aaron and apply that to our own lives. We're going to look at some of the good things that Aaron did and use as an example about how we can be faithful Christians. And then we're going to look at some of the times to where maybe Aaron didn't make the best decision and then do what we can to avoid doing the same thing. And we're going to first talk about the defeat of Amalek. If you will, open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to use several passages from Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers in looking at the life of Aaron. And we're going to start in chapter 17 of Exodus, starting in verse 8. It says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." So as we see in this story, what's happening here is that you have the Israelites fighting with Amalek. All right, Joshua is the one being sent out to lead this attack. And Moses says, "I'm going to go up to the hill and I'm going to I'm going to raise the rod that God has given me, and we are going to prevail. And as Moses holds up his hands, Israel is going to be victorious. But every time his hands go down, Amalek begins to become victorious. So it's very apparent that if Moses' hands stay up, then Joshua is going to win this battle. Otherwise, Amalek's going to win. Now, if you've ever held your hands up for a certain period of time, you know that that starts to burn and to hurt. All right, reminds me of going through band camp and marching band. All right, I always dreaded the days where we did drills of just standing at attention. And you had to stand there, couldn't move at all. And after about 3 or 4 minutes, your arms begin to burn. You're holding your horn, and you see the burning sensation going all through your arms and begin to shake. And after 5, 6, 7 minutes, it's like agony, like you just hope it would end. So you can imagine that after a certain period of time here, Moses' hands and arms are going to get heavy and they're going to get tired and weak. So what happens as a result is that Aaron and Hur are going to hold up his hands, literally hold his hands throughout the entire battle until the Israelites and Joshua come out victorious. So what we learn from this, Aaron and Hur are going to hold the hands of Moses to defeat Amalek. All right, they don't sit off to the side, but rather they're right there holding his hands. They're going to work together to defeat the enemy. All right, they're with Moses. They're helping him to do what he needs so that the Israelites and Joshua comes out victorious. They're going to help Moses when he was weak. Now, Moses was by no means a weak man, especially spiritually. He was a very strong man, as we learned this morning. But again, in this situation, pretty much anybody is going to get weak at some time, and you're going to want to put your hands down. So when Moses got to that point, Aaron and Hur are both going to step up, and they're going to help Moses when he feels weak. And as a result, they did whatever it took to help Moses so that Joshua and the Israelites prevailed. Now, Aaron and Hur could have sat back and said, good luck to you. You know, keep it up. You're doing great. I know it hurts, but it's all going to be worth it. They didn't do that. They saw that Moses needed help, and so they went over and they literally held his hands up so that Joshua and the Israelites would prevail. So what we get here is that Aaron is going to step up and help his brother when he needs help. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's exactly what Aaron did. Right? He saw that a brother was in need, and it helped him out. And as Christians, we must always be willing to do the same thing, that when we see a brother or sister in need, that we step up and help them out as well, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, that we are always there to help out when they need help. That's part of our jobs as Christians. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 35, says, Jesus is saying here, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of these brothers mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So when we help out a brother or sister, we're not just helping them out, we're doing it for the name of Jesus Christ. And in the case of Aaron, not only is he helping out Moses, but he's also doing it for the sake of the Israelites, and he's doing it in the name of God. So when we help each other out, we're not just doing it just for that person, but we're doing it to fulfill our responsibilities as Christians, all in the name of Jesus Christ. So this is definitely an example of Aaron that we should take to heart and should always try to follow every single step of our lives. But now, as we talk about the situation of the golden calf, we see a different side of Aaron. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 32. As we read this story. Now, Brother Guy spoke of this story this morning. We're going to get Aaron's viewpoint of this as we talk about this. Now, what's happened is that Moses has gone up into the mountain. He is speaking to God. This will be the point in time where God is giving him the Ten Commandments and giving him instructions on many other things. And so Moses is gone for a long time, not a matter of hours, but even a matter of days. And so as a result, the people of Israel began to get a little nervous. And as we pick up in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of this land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they arose early the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. So what's happening here is that Moses is gone for an extended period of time. The Israelites are getting nervous. Something's happened to Moses. So they go to Aaron, who is left in charge. Again, Aaron was pretty much the right-hand man of Moses. And so when Moses goes up to the mountain, Aaron is left in charge. And they go to Aaron, scared and paranoid. And what does Aaron say? He says, "Bring me your gold, your earrings, and your jewelry." He takes that, he puts it into the fire. And it says that he makes a golden calf and an altar to that calf. All right, he has just made an idol for the sake of Moses. All right, so if we continue in verse 19, we see Moses' reaction. Now, Moses is again up speaking with God, and he is told to go back down because the Israelites are doing something that they should not be doing. And picking up in verse 19, it says, "So it was, as soon as Moses came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, 'What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?' And Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, "Make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So that they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and the calf came out. So when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. So Moses comes down off the mountain. He sees the calf. He is enraged. He even throws down the tablets that has all the instructions of God on it. And he goes to Aaron and says, "What are you doing?" All right. So first of all, Aaron was left in charge. The people of Israel go to Aaron saying, "What's happened to Moses? Something bad has happened. We need to make God for Moses." So as a result, what Aaron did was that he lost his faith. All right, he lost faith that Moses is fine, he's okay, he's with God, just be patient. And instead, pressure the people. And that's one thing that we see out of Aaron is that Aaron does not do very well, at least as described in the Bible, when he is face to face with this kind of pressure. The people have come to him, they have prayed to him, and he gives into it. He doesn't even question them as far as the Bible's account of it. He says, "Bring me your gold," and he makes that golden calf. The creation of the golden calf itself is the same thing as worshiping idols. Okay, he has made this statue here to worship instead of worshiping God himself, which was something that the Israelites were not supposed to do. And when Moses comes down and asks Aaron, "What are you doing?" What is Aaron's response? He doesn't say, "Brother, I have sinned. Brother, I have made a bad decision. Please forgive me." He says, "Do you not know that these people are evil?" He said that they were afraid that Moses, that something had happened to him, and so I said, "Bring me your gold." I threw the gold in the fire, and what happened but this calf appeared? All right? Aaron's even lying about what happened. He lies to Moses about what actually happened. He doesn't take the blame for himself, knowing that he's the one that messed up, but rather he tries to cast blame on the Israelites and said, "Hey, it's not my fault. Look at them. They're the ones that did this. I didn't make the calf. It just appeared." Whereas if we back up a few verses, we know that he made the calf by using his tools. And so we see a different side of Aaron here that we saw to begin with, to where Aaron definitely makes a bad decision. And he doesn't even take accountability for making that decision. And as a result, Aaron was not a good leader. He did not lead the Israelites like they should have been led. All right? He was left in charge while Moses was. And instead of leading the Israelites, he fell into temptation, or rather fell into the pressure of the people. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." The things that we know that are right and wrong, if we go against that, then it is a sin. Aaron knew that what he was doing was wrong. He knew that when Moses came down that he had done the wrong thing. But yet, instead of owning up to it or doing the right thing to begin with, Aaron falls into the pressure of the people. Therefore, what he has done is that he has sinned against God. We are no different. If we know what's right and what's wrong and we go against that, if we go against the will of God, then we have sinned against God. And therefore, we risk a chance of not getting into heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." So everything that we do as Christians, we should always do it with the forefront that we are trying to do the will of God, that we are trying to do everything through Jesus Christ. Is that what Aaron did here? Was he doing the will of God? As he was making the calf and told the people of Israel to bring me your gold, was he keeping God's will in mind? Or was he rather doing maybe what he thought was right, or maybe he was doing something to please the Israelites? But he was certainly not keeping in mind of what God's will was. And as a result, made a very big mistake. As a result of this event, as we just read, Moses said, "If you're with me, come stand with me." And the house of Levi, which included Aaron, went and stood with Moses. Everybody else was struck dead. About 3,000 Israelites just on this day were struck dead because of what they had done. So Aaron's going to learn from this, at least for a little while anyway. And as we read in Leviticus chapter 8, Aaron is going to keep this in mind as we go a little further along. Now, this is a very short verse, not a whole lot to it, but it gives us an example about how Aaron lives over the next several weeks and years. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 36, what's happening here is that Moses is telling Aaron and his sons, who have been basically made priests in the tabernacle, the instructions of what they're to do. If you've ever read through Exodus and Leviticus, then there are whole details that God gives to Moses as to how the tabernacle should be built, exactly how everything should be handled in regards to even the clothing that the priests are to wear, all the offerings. Every little detail is given to Moses. And Moses is now giving that to Aaron, who is one of these priests, and telling him what to do. And there are a lot of details here. And rather, Aaron doesn't question it, but as we read in verse 36, it says, "Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses." So as a priest of the tabernacle, what Aaron is doing here is that when given the instructions, he's going to follow them exactly. And again, if you've ever read through this, you know exactly how tedious that could have been in regards to all these little details. But yet, they did every single bit according to God's will. So we see a better side of Aaron here as a priest in regards to he was doing every bit of what God tells him to. Every little offering, every little piece that he was supposed to do in the tabernacle, he is doing. All right, so we see the obedience of Aaron to God. There are times to where Aaron is a really good man and to where he is very obedient to God. And this is one of those cases. Aaron follows God's instructions exactly. What would happen had Aaron not followed God's instructions? All right, we saw what happened to the Israelites with the golden calf. All right, and I think back to, anytime I talk about this, I think back to Noah and the ark. And God did the same thing with Noah, to where he gave specific instructions on how the ark should be built, what type, how big it should be, how many windows it should have. What would happen if Noah had not followed through on every single detail of the ark? All right, he probably would have been killed along with everybody else. So Aaron follows every bit of God's instructions when told what to do. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Now, God is our Heavenly Father. So we can also use this same aspect in regards to honoring Him and following Him in His commands. We always do the commandments of our Father, who is God. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, "But He said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." And that's exactly what we see out of Aaron here. He heard the word of God, he heard the instructions of God, and he did every single piece exactly like he was supposed to. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So if we follow the will of God and do exactly what He commands us to do, then we are walking not in darkness, but in the light of God and in the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see out of Aaron here. in that he is walking in the light of God. It's important to it's very important for us as Christians to understand that we must follow every single part of it. That if we only obey part of the law and part of what is commanded of us, then we're not fulfilling exactly what God wants us to, and therefore are not walking in the light. But now Aaron's sons are going to make the ultimate mistake of not following the will of God. Let's turn over about one chapter to Leviticus. As Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, who are also priests with Aaron, make the ultimate mistake of not following God's will. Starting in verse 1, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified.' So Aaron held his peace." What Aaron's sons have done, who were priests along with Aaron, is that they have taken, it says they took their censer, put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the profane fire is in this case, but they have gone against the commandments of God. They've gone against the instructions of what they're supposed to do. Again, God gave specific instructions every single piece of the way as to what they as priests should be doing with these offerings. And what we see here out of Nadab and Abihu is that they have gone outside of those instructions and have kind of gone out on their own. And as a result, they go against God's wishes. And God's response to that is that he will kill Nadab and Abihu for their disobedience. He doesn't give them a warning. He doesn't punish them. He doesn't give them a stern talking to. Rather, he just kills them on the spot. So we see what happens when we go against God's will. Now, in reference to Aaron, what is Aaron doing? As we continue, as we go back to verse 3, it says, "Aaron held his peace." Aaron watches his two sons die by God's hands, and he doesn't plead out to God. He doesn't say, "What did you do? Why did you do this? Was that really necessary?" Rather, Aaron kept his silence. Because first of all, he knows if he speaks out, he's probably going to be killed as well. But also, he knows that his two sons have not done what had been commanded. They've gone against God's will. They have messed up. And so, as a result, it says, Aaron kept silent, not speaking out against God. Can't imagine having the same response if I saw my own child die at the hands of someone else. But that's exactly what Aaron did. Because, again, as Christians, what we should be first and foremost kept in our minds is that we are doing the will of God. And that no matter what God instructs of us, that's what we have to do. And let His will be done, not ours. And that's exactly what we see here out of Aaron's sons. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Maybe Nadab and Abihu thought that they were doing the right thing. Maybe thought that they were maybe going the extra mile in giving offerings to God. But again, if we get outside of what God tells us, then we're not doing His will. We're going against His commandments, and therefore we are sinning. It may seem right to us, but rather what we're actually doing is something that is wrong in God's eyes, and how often this happens to where people think that they're doing the right thing in certain situations or worship services or maybe in general and how we should go to heaven. But when it comes down to it, it's not exactly what God tells us. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 says, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And that's exactly what happened to Aaron's two sons. They failed to obey His commandments. They failed to keep His word. And as a result, God killed both of them. No questions asked. And we have to know that God will have the same fate for us if we go against His will. That if we go against God, then the God who killed Nadab and Abihu because they disobeyed Him, that if we disobey Him as Christians, then come the day of judgment, then we might see the same fate with our souls. But Aaron will ultimately make the same mistake. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter 20 as we get to the end of Aaron's life. Now what's happening here is that the children of Israel, they are thirsty. There is no water to drink. They have appealed to Moses and Aaron saying, we have no water. We thirst. We need something. And so starting in Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 7, the Lord God spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, together the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered as the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. So what's happened is that God has given them instructions, and Brother Guy spoke of this morning, that he has told Aaron and Moses, take the rod, speak to the rock, and water will come out. And the Israelites will have whatever they need to feed, or rather to water themselves and their animals. So Moses and Aaron did as God commanded, but instead of speaking to the rock, Moses took the rod and struck the rock twice. And that may not sound like a big deal to us, but to God, that's monumental. And it says, because you did not believe me, the children of Israel will not enter into the land that I have promised. After all that they have gone through, the plagues in Egypt, being enslaved for 430 years, the escape, the exodus out of Egypt, parting of the Red Sea, and all that time and work, to say, because you have disobeyed me, you will not enter the land that I have given you. If we do not do God's will, then we will be punished. And we see that this here out of Moses and Aaron. Let's continue in verse 22. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron and his garments, and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. So what was Aaron's punishment for not obeying God? It was death. They went against God's command. Both Aaron and Moses went against God's command. God told them to speak to the rock, and instead Moses struck the rock. And again, that may not sound like a big deal to us. But again, when God gives us a command, we have to follow it through exactly. As a result, Aaron and the Israelites were denied entrance into the promised land. This land that they've been searching for years, flowing of milk and honey, you will now not see. You will now not inhabit. Because you have not believed me. Because you have disobeyed me. And for Aaron, as a high priest, he will be stripped of his garments. They will be given to his son Eleazar. And then Aaron will be killed because of his disobedience. We saw the same thing out of his sons. His sons went against God. Aaron had to know that if he went against God, then the same thing is going to happen to him. And that's exactly what happens. Aaron is killed because of his disobedience. Now, Moses' life is spared here. And someone might say, well, that's not fair. Moses was the one that struck the rock. They were both on this together. So why didn't Moses die as well? All right. Well, maybe God had more plans for Moses. We don't question God's will. He has a plan for everything. But regardless, what happened here with Aaron is that he went against God. He disobeyed God. And his punishment for that was the ultimate punishment in that he died. So as Christians, we look at Matthew chapter 7. starting in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So according to this passage, again, kind of reinforcing what we just read, is that if we go against God, then we see the threat of not going to heaven. Because the way to heaven is not broad and easy to go through. The way to get to heaven is narrow, and the gate is small. It's hard to get to heaven, as we continue reading in verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If we do not obey the will of God, then we will not get to heaven. And that's the ultimate lesson that we should get from Aaron here, is that when Aaron disobeyed God and went against his will, then Aaron was struck dead. And the same thing will happen to our souls if we do the same thing with God's will. The New Testament is very clear as to what we can and cannot do, as to what we should do to get to heaven. And if we don't do that, then we are guaranteed here that we will not get to heaven. And we saw that out of Aaron. God killed Aaron's sons because they disobeyed him, and then God killed Aaron because he also disobeyed them. We know that God is a loving God and a forgiving God, but he's a God that means what he says. And if we don't do what he says, then we will not get to heaven. So as we kind of wrap this up and look at the life of Aaron, all right, Aaron helped Moses when addressing Pharaoh. He was his mouth or spokesperson. He was essential in the Exodus from Egypt. Then he was the first high priest, but when it came down to it, he was not a leader. And when you look at the difference between Moses and Aaron, that's one of the main things is that, first of all, Moses was a man of God. Moses obeyed God in almost every step of the way until he gets to the water of Meribah. And Aaron, along the way, made a lot of mistakes. He was not a leader, as we saw with the golden calf. He was more of a follower. He was there right by Moses, but Moses led the way. And so therefore, Aaron was much more of a follower. And in being a follower, also fell into sin in several different occasions. So the question is, are we leaders or followers? Are we going to be like Moses and be leaders in regards to into being a Christian? Are we going to do the will of God and step up when our time comes and when temptation calls? Are we going to be like Moses, like we learned this morning? Or are we going to be more of a follower like Aaron? Aaron, who overall was a good man, and who was definitely trusted by God if he was seen as the first high priest, but along the way fell into temptation, fell into pressure, made some wrong decisions that ultimately ended his life. Is that the kind of Christian we're going to be? I mean, we're all sinners. We're going to make mistakes. But when God tells us something specifically to do, are we going to do it or are we going to go against it? In regards to getting to heaven, God is very clear as to what He expects of us. We know that we must hear the Word of God, that we must believe the Word of God, that we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to die for our sins. Repent of our sins and be baptized, and then at that point remain faithful. If we're not doing these things, then we're not doing the will of God. All right, if you're not a Christian and you haven't followed these steps, then you're not doing the will of God, and you will not get to heaven according to what we read in the Bible. So if you're not baptized, then you need to come forward and do exactly what God commands of you. If you are baptized, if you're a Christian, but maybe you haven't been faithful, maybe you've been like Aaron to where you've made mistakes along the way, you've had public sin, or maybe you've completely fallen away from Christ, maybe you need to come forward and get your life right with God to make sure that we don't end up like Aaron. We must always do the will of God and not fall by the wayside. If any of this applies to you, we ask you please at this time come forward as we